listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open. 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison's Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. About tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
You may be seated.
And now stand. A little calisthenics. Okay, let's greet each other today. Got a few announcements to share with you and want to encourage you, if you're a guest today, to fill this little form out in the cell and tear it off, place it in the offering plate, to help us get to know you better and participate in our life groups. It's a great way to get to know the church in a more intimate way and for our folks to love on you. We've got Bush Wildlife Sanctuary and Lunch, January 18th. Information's in there. Contact the office if you'd like to go. And then we've got our Bible studies coming up for the men and the ladies. And that information's in here. We're starting last Sunday this month, and Crazy Love for the Men. And we've sold out of our workbook, so if you want one, you could probably order one from Prime or something like that, our textbooks. And then the ladies have a handful more. Judith will be in the foyer to sell those to you, and want to encourage you. And there are mops and a few other things. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I know we're past Christmas, but if you'd still like to give to that, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering supports the largest group of missionaries in the world, and the vast majority of our missionaries are sent to the 1040 window, that geographic of the world that is the most unreached parallels of the world. It encompasses a lot of the communist nations, the Muslim nations, and all of that. And so the concentration of our missionaries are going there now. So if you'd like to give to that, we would appreciate it. How many of you, look inside your cell publicly, how many of you have gotten the gospel tract, if you'll hold it up, okay, or your hand? And how many of you need one? You don't have one. David, if y'all could get some of those. When the ushers come through, just raise your hand and they'll give you a couple of these. I had the opportunity this week, Lord laid on my heart, to write a gospel tract. First time I've done that. And so today, I'm actually, for the sermon, going to go over it with you, and I've got some more information to share about that. And here they come. So if you need one of these, just see Gary or Jim. Jim, do you have some? Yeah, okay. See Gary or Jim, and they'll provide those for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then I do want to remind you, as Rebecca referred to our fellowship in between life groups and church from 10 to 10:30 over in the fellowship hall this month, and come and take part in that. That'll be a great time to get to meet some other people and to eat some food that has zero carbs in it and zero calories. It's a great way to break your New Year's Eve resolution, so come do it with us.
Please pray with me over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we're thankful for some new faces that we've not seen before, Father, all coming together to hear your word spoken and sang. We thank you for this opportunity. Father, we pray that you'll bless this time, that you'll fill this room with your Holy Spirit and draw us closer to you. Father, we love you and praise you and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
We want to release our children for Children's Church. So several years ago, I was at the Florida Baptist Convention when I was a pastor of my first church in Hollywood. And while I was there, I ran into one of our kind of legends in the convention, Homer Lindsay Jr. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Jacksonville and had been the pastor at Northwest Baptist down in Miami before that. And so he's talking to me, and Homer was just kind of almost like a country guy, you know, and kind of probably not the best speaker, but yet probably the greatest administrator as a pastor in our nation. And in fact, First Jacksonville under his leadership was averaging about 7,500 in life groups in Sunday school and about 10 or 12,000 in worship. They renovated their sanctuary and had several miles of pews in it. They had an escalator that took people down. I wish we had one here. The stairs give me a fit. But he's talking to me and he says, "Young Daryl," because I was younger then, he said, "What are you doing to train your people to soul win?" And he liked the term soul winning, which Billy Graham said, if he had it all to do over again before he died, he would have used the term soul winning instead of evangelism because it denotes an urgency, soul winning. And so he said, "What are you doing to train your people?" And I said, "Well, I went through evangelism explosion and I'm teaching our people that. It's 13-week semesters, you know, I'm doing two or three a year." And he said, oh, you need to stop all that. You need to drop all that and just write a gospel track and teach your people to read it to people. He said, "That's what I've done." And so I stored that away, but that was a long, long time ago. That was 38 years ago and 37 years ago. And so with that, I went through EE. I was certified in it. I taught about six or seven semesters of it at Gardens. And then when I came here, I determined when I came to another Southern Baptist church, I was going to shift over to CWT, Continuous Witness Training, which that was a program, a method of training and witnessing. The Southern Baptist Convention tried to buy Evangelism Explosion from D. James Kennedy, the writer of it, Coleridge Presbyterian Church. I had lunch with him one time. He was telling me about it. He said, "Daryl, you know, they tried to buy EE from me, but it's open for anybody to use. It's a witnessing tool, and I want everybody to use it. But, you know, I can't really sell it." So they made CWT, which is the Southern Baptist version of it. And so when I came here, I got certified in CWT, and we had about 12, 14 semesters of that, two a year, and was taking our people out. And then the witnessing with Evangelism Explosion, it takes about 40 minutes and change, 40 to 45 minutes to witness to someone. And then with CWT, it took about 35 minutes or so. And a lot of times, especially in our modern world now, everybody's internal clock is so fast that they're not almost willing to sit around for that, you know, in a way, unless God's really working on them. And so I abbreviated CWT here and I cut it down to about 25 minutes or so. And the Southern Baptist Convention became aware of it. This was years ago. And they said, we would like to use your abbreviation, Daryl, at First Baptist Church of Stuart. And I said, please do. So they hired two professors at Southeastern Seminary to write a textbook and a workbook for this abbreviated version that we were doing. And we sent them all our literature, how we were printing it and all that. And then about that time, Bobby Welch became president of the Southern Baptist Convention, a dear friend from First Baptist Daytona. And he had the faith training that he had written for his church, which incorporated Sunday school life groups into witnessing. And so the convention adopted that, and they scrapped the abbreviation of CWT, and everything shifted to faith training. And so through the years, I've witnessed a lot of different ways. I learned how to witness with a gospel tract called Does God Lose His Patience?, written by Eddie Martin, a used car salesman that got saved. Thank God when used car salesmen get saved. They probably do a better job selling cars, you know, or maybe they don't sell any. I don't know. But so he wrote four different tracts, and he said, most witnessing campaigns or programs teach you one way to share Jesus, and once you've done it, you know, you're out of bullets. What are you going to do if the person says not now, later, or they're not convicted yet, or whatever? So he wrote four gospel tracts. What must I do to be saved? When a man dies, where does he go? Have you heard of the second coming of Christ, and does God lose his patience? And so he wrote these four gospel tracts, and I've used all of them before. And so the first day I was a Christian, I went I got saved in a basketball gym on a Friday night. They said Saturday morning at Broadway Baptist, we've got soul winning visitation. We want you to come, and we'll train you. And myself, and there were about six or seven that night that got saved. It was a revival in a basketball gym being preached by Adrian Rogers, the new pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church. And so I responded to the invitation that night. I went into the room. Adrian counseled with us, and he led me to Christ. And so Brother Bobby at Broadway had soul winning the next morning. And they said, you come and we'll train you. And so I didn't know what soul winning was. I just, you know, gotten saved that night. And I said, I'm going. So I went that morning. They said, we're going to pair you up with a speaking partner, and we're going to send you out. And here's some gospel tracts that Brother Bobby has written. And here's these gospel tracts. They used the Eddie Martin tracts. And they handed those out and said, go and read them to people. You need to read the whole thing to people, and you'll, you know, lead them to Christ. So that was my training. They handed me the green tract. That was the one they handed me. And so we went. And so I was paired with David Teal. And David was shy and quiet. He was the leader, the speaking partner. And so we go to the first house. They gave us all a packet of prospects. And it turned out to be this college girl named Debbie. And we were in her living room in a nice suburb of Memphis. We're sitting there, and David Teal is looking around. We don't say anything for a while. And then he says, nice home you got here, nice weather, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Debbie's sitting over on the sofa like Kim's sitting there. And so I'm sitting across, and finally, I'm not like that. I know you can't imagine that, but I'm not shy. I don't have a shy bone in my body. And I'm not quiet. And so I'm sitting there and I said, well, I don't know what to do. I just got saved last night, but they gave us this pamphlet and they told us to read it to people. Can I read this to you, Debbie? Sure. So I jump up, run over the sofa. I sit down beside her and I whip out the gospel track, Eddie Martin track, and I'm sitting next to her. Does God lose his patience? And it talks about procrastination. So I said, Debbie, I'm going to read this to you. Okay. And then on the very first page, there's a quote from the Proverbs, and it says, where God says, you've said it not all my counsel. You said no to everything I've got to say to you. Therefore, when destruction sweeps over you like a whirlwind and desolation, I will mock at you from heaven. I mean, this is God talking really strong. So I'm reading that. It talks about procrastination. I read the second page. Before I get to the third page, Debbie starts, she starts crying, you know. She's broken. She starts sniffling, you know. And she said, I don't want to put it off. I don't want to go to hell, you know. And I said, so I pause and I look at her. And I remember my training. And I said, you can't. We got to read the whole thing. And so she's squalling by the end. I mean, she's so broken. Does this prayer express the desire of your heart? Is this what you want Jesus to do for you? Yes, yes, yes. And so she prays to receive Christ, and I lead her to Jesus. And then, thank you, Debbie. And then we go to the next one, and it's Roger, a young teenager that just gotten out of juvenile detention center, and I read it to Roger, and Roger gives his life to Christ. And then we go to the third visit, and it's a young couple, and I read it to them, and the man gives his life to Christ. So here I am, less than 24 hours old, and I've led three people to Christ. And so it's been that way off and on ever since. And with me, before I was a pastor, before I was a staff member, before any of that, I kept praying, Lord, I want you to share your wisdom with me. I want to be wise. And the more I prayed that, the more burdened I've been to win people to Christ, to be a soul winner. And through the years, I've prayed personally, either in mass groups or in individuals with thousands of people to receive Christ. One night, over 2,000 in Brazil. And from that, I've kind of been going through and analyzing these different Romans Road, CWT, Evangelism Explosion, Faith, and then the circles that we do now in the convention, all these different things. And with it, I've really tried to abbreviate it to where it includes, the gospel includes several, the gospel presentation. It includes a personal relationship with Christ, giving your life to Jesus and the benefits of that. And then also the idea of Jesus dying in time, space, and history on the cross at Calvary, a historical death where he died for us as a substitute for our sins, with repentance, where we have to accept him and change our mind about ourselves and our own righteousness and transfer it to Christ and his finished work. And with that also, the fact that he's imminent, that he is listening, he's present, and that he wants to save us right now. He is present. It's interesting, when we share the gospel, we are not talking about a historical event. When we share the gospel, we are actually bringing Christ's presence to that person. There am I in the midst of you. And he talks about that. The gospel actually brings the living presence of Christ. And so the way I share the gospel, finally, this week, I sat down and wrote it out exactly the way I share the urgent, abbreviated version of the gospel and how I do it. Because I'm not bragging, but God's blessed it, and it's very effective. Just this week, I've shared the gospel four times in the past week or so, and I've had three of the four give their life to Christ. After Elka produced the rough draft of this, before it had, if you look in the back, there's a birth certificate for them to fill out, the rebirth certificate. Before we got to that, she just had the title up there and there wasn't a certificate there yet. So I took one of the rough drafts with me and I went with one of our men and we ate at Carrabba's and we had lunch there. And so Eric, our server, I said, I've just written a pamphlet, a little gospel pamphlet. Can I share it with you? And he said, absolutely. And so he seemed like disinterested sort of or preoccupied or whatever, but then he kind of locked in, and at the end, he prayed to receive Christ. He repeated the sinner's prayer with me and gave his life to Christ. And so after we were done, I rehearsed with him some follow-up from it, and then I said, well, here's the page where we have the rebirth certificate. It's not there yet, but let's make one. So I said, write your name in. He wrote Eric, whatever his last name was. And I've received Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to live for him the rest of my life. And then let's put the date on there. Let's put the time and all that. So we hand wrote a birth certificate for Eric. The first person I ever used the gospel track with, Eric, gave his life to Christ. Can I hear an amen? So sharing, when Kim and I went to the Keys between Christmas and Thanksgiving, I got to share with two different men on the trip, and one on the trip and one when we initially got back. And it turns out that one was a Jewish fishing guide, kind of apropos, and the other was a Muslim man here in town. And both of them prayed to receive Christ. And so what I want today to do with you for our sermon is I'm going to actually just share this with you. Now, when I was talking to a couple of our men, they said, Pastor, we'll go out in the street and grab somebody and bring them in for you to witness to them. I said, that would be awesome, you know. Well, we haven't done that, so it might be a little awkward, you know. Hey, come up here in front of everybody and let me go after you, you know. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to rehearse it, and then Margaret's going to tap it along on the screen and want to encourage you to follow it in the book. But all of these things, there's one of the witnessing programs says, is there any good reason why you wouldn't want to receive the gift of eternal life? I don't like that question because you're appealing to their intellect instead of their spirit. And you do that, you're opening the door for them. Well, you know, what about contradictions in the Bible? Or, you know, can God build a rock he can't lift? Or whatever, you know, some of these things people say. And so I don't like that. So the questions, the responses, even the invitation in it, I found to not be offensive. It's kind of putting the person in a third person instead of personal. One of the witnessing programs, you're to convince the person how wicked they are. Have you ever told a lie? Well, you're a liar. Have you ever taken anything that's not yours? Well, you're a thief. I mean, that's an uphill sledding, I'll be honest with you. And Bill Bright, years ago with Four Spiritual Laws, in that program of witnessing, he started off with, God has a wonderful plan for your life. I think that sounds a lot better. Amen? And the Bible says the goodness of God draws people to repentance, that he's a good God. And that, so I've got that in here. And so I'm going to run through it with a guinea pig. Mario, can you come up? And Mario, you're going to give me good works answers, okay? Don't show them how spiritual you are today, okay? So what's your name, young man?
Mario.
Okay. And can I ask you a spiritual question real quick?
Sure.
In your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven when they die?
Oh, that's easy. You just have to be good, go to church, give money to the poor, and that's it.
What about giving money to the church?
Yeah, sometimes. A few dollars here and there. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Would you mind if I share with you the answer to that question from the New Testament?
Sure. I have a few minutes.
Excellent. Jesus said, I came so you can have life and have it more abundantly. More than just clothes, food, house, car, vacation, retirement. He says, out of your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. But the problem is our sin nature. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he wants to give us eternal life as a free gift. And to do that, we have to receive it. Like any gift, you have to receive it. The Bible says, as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And so we have to accept that gift. And he tells us, well, we're unplugged now. So he tells us, you know, in Scripture, how to do that. He says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And in Scripture, he also talks about the fact that it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so for me, several years ago in a basketball gym, I received the gift of eternal life, and I prayed a prayer that went something like this. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to ask you to come into my life and take control of my life and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, and I'll live for you the rest of my life. Does that prayer express the desire of your heart? Is that what you would like Jesus to do for you?
Yeah.
Excellent. Good, Mario. Let's pray. Okay. Good. Excellent. Thank you, brother. Well, now that you've given your life to Christ and accepted him in your life, there's several things that I'd like to go over with you from this little pamphlet that I've got here. First of all, you need to share Jesus with others. The Bible says that, and they that are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness forever and ever. And the New Testament also says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher in Romans 10? And then next, we need to gather with other believers as often as possible. Find a church home. The Bible instructs us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Number three, as soon as possible, follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Or number five, as soon as possible, follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Jesus' Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So I want to encourage you with these things, and I want to welcome you to the family of God. And like I shared earlier, as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Would you fill out this rebirth certificate?
I will.
Okay, let's... Perfect. You're a very fast writer. And there's a few other things for you to check out with this as well. God bless you, Mario. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Amen. I want to encourage y'all. Now, when hot off the press, it was actually the first one I had that had the everything in it. It had the decision form, the rebirth certificate, and all that. And I went to lunch with one of our Snowbird members that comes over from Texas, and we went to lunch, and would you be open to share that? Or you want me to do it? No, I'll tell it, okay. So we went to lunch, and then he had to get a rental car because his car's getting worked on. And so he said, can you take me to Enterprise Rentals? Sure. So when we get there, I only had the one track. And I said, well, this is my original, the original good one. It's got all the stuff in it. And I said, I'll give it to you if you read it to somebody inside there. He said, I'll do it. And so I want you to call me, Lee, when you're done and give me a report. Okay, I will. So he goes in to rent the car. He's in line. It's his turn. Three people are in line behind him. And when he gets up to the guy, he says, in the process of signing up for the car, he says, well, my pastor just wrote this pamphlet, and he told me I got to read this to you. And the guy says, okay, read it to me. And so he reads the gospel tract to him. And the guy at the end, when he gets to the prayer, he said, I've already done that. I'm saved. I know Jesus. But can I have that pamphlet? And Lee said, sure you can. So he gave it to him. And then a girl representative came in, went to her desk. He went over to her desk and he said, I just got this and you need to read it. It talks about going to heaven. And she said, I'm already going to heaven. I don't need to read it. I read my Bible every day. And so he, okay. So he gets it and goes and lays it in the middle of his desk. And then Lee gets to, he said, I want to just get a cheap car just to get around a couple days, the most inexpensive sedan thing you've got. So they got him one of those. He's going out with a girl rep to the parking lot with the keys. And the guy he read the tract to follows him out the door. Wait a minute, change of plans. I want to upgrade him. And what did he give you instead? A Dodge Charger, a muscle car. So Lee says, hey, this witnessing thing's pretty good. You know, you go from a junky little sedan to a muscle car. You know, I'm in a race car now. And so that's what you have in store for you and in sharing this with other people. And it's interesting that God fights for us, but the devil fights soul winning and witnessing more than anything else. It is the crucial thing. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where a lost person becomes a saved person, a condemned, damned person becomes a person to go to heaven in eternity. I mean, it is the ball game, ultimately. Everything else stacks up around that. And we do need to disciple them, and we do need to grow in Jesus. But so many people use discipleship as an excuse to not win them to Christ. Everybody, I'll be a discipler. Who's going to win the babies to Jesus, the divine adoptions, so that we can disciple them? My heart for the last 31, almost 32 years here in Martin County has been that First Baptist Church of Stewart grow through evangelism. That it grow not from people transferring from other churches. There's a lot of that going on. I'll try this one for a while, the flavor of the month type thing. Here's a new one, I'll do that one, whatever. What can they offer me, whatever. All that kind of stuff. But instead of that, I'd like to see us grow through evangelism, soul winning. Now, I've had many say that soul winning is the dirty work of the church. And part of it is fear. In fact, most of it, people are afraid of being rejected. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I've had people tell me, they said, Pastor, I want you to witness to my family member, but don't offend them. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Send them to hell number two? I mean, they're already going to hell. I mean, actually, people need to be offended. There's a lot of people. I have led a lot of people to Christ that I have offended. And I'll give you one example. I was working in Iuka, Mississippi for Daly Electric Company, my dad's company. We were wiring a bank in Iuka, and the jobs superintendent his nickname was Wild Bill. And he was called Wild Bill because he lived in a little camper on the back of his truck, and he drank a six-pack of beer for lunch every day. So he was pretty wild. And so I'm on this job with this real brassy cob of a guy, and I'm trying to witness to him. I'm trying to win him to Christ. So I shared Jesus with him several times and talking to him. And finally, he calls me over. He's the job superintendent. Ormond, come here. I don't want to hear any more blankety-blank Christianity, Jesus stuff out of you. You know, I don't want any. I don't want to hear any more of that. And so I walked up to him and I said, Bill, I love you. And I promise you, I won't share Jesus again with you while I'm on this job. But every time I'm kneeling, putting a receptacle in, and you see me, I'm praying for you. Every time you see me on a ladder installing a light, I'm praying for you. You know, every time I pull wire into a panel, I'm praying for you. And I want you to know that. I'm praying for you. And so then I wrote from Timothy a passage of scripture on the inside of a receptacle box, a little box. I tore it open where it was flat, like an index card. And I wrote this verse on there, and I memorized it at that job. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose us, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, so they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive by him at his will. So all of that on a receptacle box now, I'm telling you. And so I memorized that passage in honor of Wild Bill. So summer ended, I had to go back to Liberty University, and I went back to school. And that fall around just before Thanksgiving, a week before Thanksgiving, my dad gives me a call, and he says, Daryl, Wild Bill is looking for you. And I said, is he still mad because I witnessed to him? You know, and he said, no. He said, he's changed. He said, I think he's become a deacon. And I said, there is no way that guy has become a deacon since this summer. You know, I wouldn't want to go to the church that did that, you know. So anyway, he said, no, he's changed. He says, he doesn't drink anymore. He's dating a Christian woman. He's talking about Jesus. He said, Daryl, he's really changed. And I said, that's awesome. So Wild Bill gave his life to Christ. Don't be afraid of people getting offended. Don't be afraid of offending someone. How many of you maybe were offended at some point before you were saved? When people, raise your hands. There's several in here that were offended. I mean, before I was a Christian, I grew up in church and fell away in my teenage years. I was hitchhiking with one of my buddies who looked like the handsome blonde-haired BG guy. And it's me and him hitchhiking. And this family picks us up. Their teenage son's driving. They all have button-down collars, and the girls had dresses down to their ankles. And it turns out that they were a group of independent Baptist church members who were in our town. And we get in the car, I get in the front seat, Tommy gets in the back seat. And so they pick us up, and then as soon as the doors are closed and we're rolling down the road, they said, do you know for sure, which way would you go if you die? That's what they said. And I look at Tommy, and Tommy looks at me. We were not Christians then. And I said, we'd be going that way, and I pointed down the highway. And they proceeded to witness to us and share Jesus with us. And I just want you to know that it's one of the greatest things on earth. I've had so many people tear up, hug me, thank me for sharing Jesus with them. And I tell you, we're going to be in heaven real soon. It's winding up. We're going. The Lord laid on my heart, I fasted and prayed this week for a few days, and I prayed that God would take us to 1,000 people here by the end of the year. And 1,000 people that we've won to Jesus. Well, except for us, we're already here, but we're going to add the others and win them to Jesus. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. In the Bible, on baptism in the New Testament, they did not suggest baptism. Would you like to get baptized, you know, would it, after they gave their life to Christ? Would it be all right, you know? It says in Acts that Peter commanded them to be baptized. Look it up for yourself. And we don't command anybody in America to do anything. I mean, we're children of the War of Independence. So, you don't command us to do anything. But we do lead people to do it. So today, here's what I want to, I not command you. I don't have the power to do that. But I want every one of you to read this gospel tract to at least one person this week. And here's how you can get off easy on it. I went to this church. The pastor wrote this thing. He's real proud of it. And he's making me read it to someone. Will you be the one? Or if you have to go that route. But I want every one of you, and that means a family member, a neighbor, the Amazon driver, because you saw how quickly this gospel presentation is when I shared it with Mario. I have led people to Christ at McDonald's, not at Chick-fil-A, they're way too fast, but McDonald's, Burger King, where the girl came to the window, there wasn't anybody directly behind me. I asked them this question, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven when they die? And then, well, good person, Ten Commandments, or I don't know. Can I share with you? Yes. Run right through it, reach their hand out the window, hold their hand, pray to receive Christ at the drive-thru window. And then when you go back the next time, you get extra french fries. You know, there are benefits. I've actually had people give me lunch or this or that, or, you know, you don't do it for that, but it's a side benefit. You might get a muscle car, who knows? But I just want to encourage you, and as a kind of a show of obedience, Jesus said, follow me and I might make you fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, and if your spiritual gift is evangelism, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, and if you feel like it, you should fish for people. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, every one of you here, whenever you got saved, whenever that was, teenager, a child, a young adult, middle age, or senior adult, I know that at the first point when you accepted Christ, you wanted to tell other people about it. We just naturally do. And I want to tell you something. We fill this place with baby Christians, and it'll be hopping with excitement. It will be hopping with new life. And the great thing about baby Christians is they don't know what God can't do yet. Can I hear an amen? The older we get, well, I don't think he can do that, or he won't do that with me, or he won't do this or that. Baby Christians think Jesus can do everything. And here's an assignment. Read this to one person this week at least, and then watch the Jesus Revolution movie. I think it's on some of the demand channels or whatever. Find a way to watch the Jesus Revolution movie and watch what happens at Calvary Church when Chuck Smith historically opened it up to the hippies. And look at how awkward it was. Thankfully, we wouldn't be like that. All of you would be loving on the baby Christians and loving on them. The old stodgy members told Chuck, you can't let those hippies in here. They're dirty, and they don't wear shoes. They're getting our carpet dirty. And Pastor Chuck says, they're getting our carpet dirty? Well, in the movie, they have him on one knee at the front door with a line of like several hundred hippies down the sidewalk, and he's washing their feet in a bowl before they come into church. And the stodgy members come and they look at him and he said, does this take care of it? That isn't really what happened. Chuck Smith, when they told him that in the real, Chuck Smith told the maintenance guy, tear the carpet out of the church. And that week, the carpet was gone, and when these guys showed up, these board members at the church, he said, they're not going to get our carpet dirty now because it's not here. But, you know, we need to be excited about embracing and loving. And all of you can get a handful of baby Christians and disciple them. Show them how to pray. Show them how to tithe, especially tithing, and all these other things. And really, really how to witness. And I'm really going to use, I think God's going to bless this track. Already, I've had several responses just in the last few days with it. And I think he's going to use it in a powerful way for us to share Jesus. So I want to ask you, how many of you will be followers of Christ? You will follow him and be a fisher of men, and you'll attempt to read this to at least one person this week. Would you raise your track up or your hand? Praise God. I'm excited. I've been so excited this week about what God's going to do with this. And it's going to be a great opportunity. This is our stone to throw at the giant and to knock him down, that giant of unbelief, that giant of secularism, that giant of perversion, that giant that's in. This will be one stone that we can use to share Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you read it enough times, you'll memorize it, and it'll be the way you witness. The reason I lead into the prayer of invitation by, does this prayer express the desire of your heart? Is this what you would like Jesus to do for you? Is because that was in one of the gospel tracts that I used to read to people, and it just became a part of my DNA. And I just want to encourage you with this. Jesus did come so they can have life and abundantly. And that abundant life is us being every day in a real living walk with Christ. Every day we wake up and we're on mission. Every day we're waking up to walk out into this world. And George Barna, the Christian demographer, says that actually the Treasure Coast is one of the most unchurched areas in the United States. You wouldn't think there's several churches around, but go to Memphis. There's so many corners. There's a church on all four corners. They don't have room for service stations because there's so many churches. It's not really affecting the city, but there's a lot of churches there. And so I just want to encourage you, let's be a part of dispelling the darkness. And when you get to heaven, what are you going to take with you? What are some things you're going to take with you? Anybody got a diamond ring you're going to take with you? A Rolex watch? Are you going to take your IRA? You're going to take your checkbook or savings account, or are you going to take your Bitcoin? Nothing. Well, there's one thing we are taking with us. Other people. Other people. And I used to talk to my mother about it, you know, about winning people to Christ. And she used to say for years, Daryl, I can't wait to get to heaven to see who you've invited. She's been there since June 25th. 2013. So she's known, and she's seen some arrive since then. And you know, my mother loved Jesus so much. I mean, such a godly woman, big influence on my life. But when I was first saved, I was a few months old, and our TV was on the blink. She called the TV repairman, and he came, and she said, Daryl, don't witness to him. We're paying him by the hour. And I said, well, Mother, I can't make you a promise. And a little later, I'm behind the TV with him, you know, with it pushed out from the wall. And I witnessed to him, and he gives his life to Christ. And when he left, my mother pats me on the arm. I'll forgive you because he got saved, you know. But I just want to encourage you, share Jesus. It's exciting. Now, you say, I'm so nervous. I've got my lost son or daughter mother, dad, whatever. Well, don't start with them. Call Visa, if you got to call Visa or somebody, or FP&L, and say, I got to read this to you, and read it to some stranger over the phone. And then if they get offended, so what? You'll never see them again. But I guarantee you, you'll be shocked, shocked at the responses you'll get. And invariably, especially if you tell them it's something that you know personally, it was written at your church, and you have a personal contact with it, they'll probably ask you for it. And you want to, we'll give you all of these you want. You know, if any of you are analog and you're mailing in your bill still with a check, we'll give you enough to put one in every envelope. And just let us know. But praise God, and I'm excited. Nearly all of you raised your hands. And I really hope if you didn't raise your hand that you'll do it anyway. Because when we die and go to heaven, sharing the gospel, whether you do it this way or another way, but reading this to someone will be one of the greatest things you've done in your life. Jimmy Carter, not really one of my favorites, but he was a Southern Baptist and a Sunday school teacher. Jimmy Carter said, I went all over the nation shaking thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hands to be elected president of the United States. And he said, 1 week before a revival, I went on visitation with our pastor to invite people to the revival. And he said, that 1 week of inviting people to the revival was more important than the tens of thousands of hands I shook. And I've got to agree with him in several ways. But anyway, so with that, I just want to encourage you to be a witness this week and share Jesus, and then come back and during the week, call us and share some stories with us, you know, or email us, you know, an experience or whatever. Get in touch with us and let us know how it's going during the week. And let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you and praise you. And for those who are watching through social media or listening through the radio, Lord, we just pray for any of them that if they don't know you personally, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would give their heart and life to you. And I'd like to ask you right now, any of you here, or whether you're with us through media, Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'd like to invite you right now to just say, dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to ask you to come into my life and take control of my life and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, and I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want to give you an opportunity to respond to God today as he's speaking to your heart. So let's stand together and you come as God's speaking to your heart. I want to encourage you to stop by, sign up for our Bible studies for the men and for the ladies. And next week, take part in our life group and then come to our social. I think they said we had a comfortable crowd in the fellowship hall, a good crowd in the fellowship hall, and there'll be a lot of delectable goodies. And if any of you feel led to bring a pecan pie to it, we might eat that also. So God bless you. Go read your tract to somebody. Do it as quickly as possible and get you the responsibility over with. God bless. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission. and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through Kingdom education. Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
He's calling us tonight to embrace Him. Rejected Him, He's reaching His hand out again.